You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thursday. That's right. Welcome to our house. Somebody sent me a message. Said, "Hey Mac, what are you reading this morning?" My boy T. Walsh. He was the engineer officer at the basic school, right? Who was a lot of fun with explosives. I'm not gonna lie to you. Yeah, Walsh. We would do some pretty fun stuff. Nothing more fun than being poorly supervised with explosives. It's awesome time. And then when the booms got too loud, people would call, "Hey, what's going on out there?" Same stuff. It's just atmospherics. Low ceiling. Yeah, low ceiling. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Just all we'd ask. No problem. He sent me a link. Hey, Mac, check this out. It's in the New York Times. Lost in battle, found by amateur sleuths, a, quote, unknown Marine. Digitized records, DNA tests are allowing civilian volunteers to pinch in and help out and help put correct names on unidentified remains in America's military cemeteries. It's a story about, the advances of DNA, the advances of metallurgy. So I'm reading that. I saw a story that caught my eye. Trump's tax cuts, not for everyone. 1 million Californians will owe $12 billion more next year, which is a bit of a crisis for the state of California. So, state of California, very heavily dependent on personal income tax of very wealthy people. And so the very, very interesting thing that was included in the Tax Reform Act, whatever they're calling that, was the elimination of the state and local tax deduction on your federal income tax. So, no longer can you deduct, your state income taxes. So you could pay high income tax in the state, right? All adjusted your gross income at the federal level. No more. So wealthy individuals look at that. Think about it. 1 million people are going to pay $12 billion more. Which means, gotta go. Or maybe they'll just say, screw it, I got the money. But anyway, interesting. Another article I'm reading is called Turkey's Divide. It was an article published by Bloomberg. Turkey straddles Europe and Asia with a political identity that likewise is divided. The father of modern Turkey, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, dreams of achieving the highest level of civilization as a Western-looking secular state. President Erdogan has instead emphasized Turkey's historical role as an Islamic world power since his party first was elected in 2002. That's the backdrop of Turkey's current political dramas. So that's kind of an interesting article as kind of you look at Turkey and its key position as a member of NATO, yet it's obviously changing as we have known Turkey. From West leaning to not leaning any place to being somewhat independent, involved with Russia and Iran. So we'll see where that takes us. Another article from the RAND Corporation, Turkey's double standard, how Ankara's actions contradict its claims of opposing the Islamic State. The decline of the Islamic State nearly 4 years after its emergence was a result of an aggressive military campaign to combat the group, spearheaded primarily by the United States. That has not stopped Turkish Minister of Foreign Affairs Mevlüt Cavusoglu. Sorry about that, Mev. I butchered your name. From writing an article for Foreign Policy to take credit for the group's demise, insisting that Turkey's actions in northern Syria have helped lay the groundwork for a sustainable peace. So, the question of what happens to Kurds. Right? Ryan Crocker argued that the United States has to step back from any kind of allegiance to the Kurds, which somebody argued with me the other day. We've been doing this forever. Like, why? We abandon allies all the time. Like, okay. So that's what I'm reading today. What are you reading? Just a quick comment on the interview from yesterday. Just on a personal note, how fun it is when you, young people that you knew, as in Monique and Jocelyn Lamoureux, grow up to be a big deal. And they're still the people that you knew when you run into them. But they're doing good things. I saw that... If you follow them on Twitter, you see all the different things they're doing. Monique is now an analyst on the NHL Network. And so that's a big deal. So she and I have to have a conversation about how you do well in the media. You know, one of the things, I'll tell you a funny story. When I first started doing radio, they had a consultant come in. So there was a guy who was doing he was a big talk show guy, right? And he's a big conservative. He's like a little miniature Rush Limbaugh. And I said, was those guys sprung up all over the country, right? And they would apply the same conservative values that Rush Limbaugh applied on national and international events to local and regional events. So certainly their audience, they would follow Rush Limbaugh and the EIB network on the air, and there was a following for it, and which translated to money for radio stations. Anyway, so old Mac rolls in behind this guy, and I'm not exactly your basic Rush Limbaugh follower, although I would tell you I am a conservative, but oh my God, at some point, isn't the truth important, really? So anyway, I've never been a huge fan of his. So they bring consultants in and they say, they sit down, they listen to the program, and they meet me, we go out to lunch a couple times, we talk about the way the day's scheduled, blah, 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 blah. And finally the consultant, after about the third day, you know, it was after lunch and we're sitting down, he goes, all right, let's talk about you. I'm like, oh hell, here we go. And he looks at me and he says, can I give you some career advice? And I said, yeah. He said, let me ask a question first. Why don't you put more of your personality through the microphone? I said, I don't know if that's a good idea. And he said, Mac, look, I've hung out with you now for 3 days, gone to lunch and dinner with you. He said, you're funny. And I know I'm funny, okay? And I'm not like just like normal person funny. I'm like seriously funny. So I'm like professional grade funny. So anyway, I know that. He says, but you don't put it through the microphone. You restrain how you react, what you say. I said, well, I don't want to get fired or anything. And he said, no. You have to understand. He said, the more of your personality that goes through the microphone, the better off. The more that you share, the better the program is. You know, no, we don't need or want just another guy, you know, that introduces commercials and that bullshit. We want a person that people relate to, that has different facets, that has different sides, that's compelling, and that shares that. I'm like, oh, shit. Come on. Like, too much of me, I don't know that that's a good thing, you know? And so we talked for 2 hours. And he convinced me. He said, look, I want you on a daily basis to be more you. He said, I mean, obviously you can't cuss like you do when you're not on the air. And I laughed. And he said, how do you just turn it off? I said, I'm gifted. Yeah, this is, you know, you can't do that when you're streaming across the FCC's airways. So, I was talking to Monique's dad. I said, hey, give her some advice. The people that, I mean, think about that. Think about the best people that you'll tune in to see do analysis or do sports. What are they? They're funny. I mean, look, I don't even watch the NBA a whole lot, but as the playoffs go on, I'll tune into the show that Shaquille O'Neal does with Charles Barkley just because it's funny as hell, right? It's really, really funny. And so you're an entertainer. And that's what you're an entertainer. The people that you listen to, I mean, they're entertainers. So Pierre, Monique's dad, he said, she won't listen to me. I said, you're a dad, for God's sake. He said, I know, I get the treatment. I said, all right. So, no, but it's really cool to see the things that they do. And they're good people. And so, yesterday, fun interviews. The other thing I thought was interesting about their hard work that has lessons for, I think for Marines is, you know, he made a comment about, you know, what a goal. And when we're talking about Monique's goal, Monique scores a goal in the gold medal game. I want to say it was 6 minutes left in the third period, and to tie the game that sends it into overtime. And on a breakaway, and I said, what a goal. And he said, under a lot of pressure, too. And so the ability to perform under pressure is something that Marines ought to take note of. And, again, the ability to do that at the age of 28, probably 20 years of hard work in the making. And it made me think of something Mike Musselman said, that, you know, we go to the range, we spend, you know, I can't remember how many hours, you know, shooting a week, in that week. And he said, name something that you would call yourself an expert at that you do, you know, less than 10 hours a month, or less than 10 hours a year. And you absolutely would not. And so it's kind of interesting to hear that, what you can do under pressure, how you have to train to be able to do that. And it's not simply the physical training. It's the mental part. It's enough repetitions, you know, to make this thing automatic. To make this thing, and again, I say automatic, but, you know, when you ask the people that do it, they'll say, yeah, it was in my head, it wasn't so automatic, but I'd done it so many times. I just, in fact, when Jocelyn was talking about the goal that she scored in the shootout, the goal that she scored in the shootout, she said, I've practiced that so many times. And she said, I couldn't even tell you what I was thinking when I went, after I took the puck. All I was doing, I was just focused on doing the move. I don't even know what was going through my head. So pretty fun stuff. If you didn't tune in yesterday, check them out. Really interesting interviews from, they're 2-time silver medalists. And, they are now 1-time gold medalists. I want to say they are 8-time world champions in hockey, which is what you play for in years that there is no Olympic, tournament. So anyway, tell you what we're going to do today. About a month ago, we had a guy named James Ferguson on. He has a foundation that's called Warrior Reunion Foundation. And what they do is they organize your reunion, and so that it's something more than simply getting together, reliving old times, and getting drunk. Because there's more that you can do. And I think those of us who have reconnected with our friends, I've told you about my friends that I talk to almost on a daily, well, not almost. There isn't a day that goes by that we don't text. And what ultimately it's a good feeling, right? So we're going to talk to him again today in about 40 minutes. So we're going to talk about reunions, what do you do? I mean, we don't like get in a circle and sing Kumbaya, do we? So, we have to hold hands or anything? I don't know about that. So we're going to talk about that. Like, what are we doing? Because reliving old times is not a small part of it. And the reason those things are becoming important in the year of the reunion, according to the Commandant, is as you get older, you need those guys. As you face life challenges in your own life, those are guys that are special to you in your life, and their support becomes, I think, extremely important. So we're going to talk to Ferg today. He's a former artillery officer, the United States Marine Corps, Afghanistan, around the time that Gunner and I were there, and up at the Kajaki Dam, where they got it on. And so we talked to him about that last time. So this time we'll focus on the reunion piece. So that's what we're doing today. I would be remiss. I just was going through all Marine radio statistics, okay? Pretty amazing. And that doesn't even do it justice. In the last year, 3.5 million hits to the website. Honestly, pretty amazing. Almost over 400,000 downloads of MP3s. So it's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy, to say the least. So to everybody who's helped spread the word about All Marine Radio and what All Marine Radio does and what it endeavors to do, the only thing I could say is thank you. It's a very cool culture, and we use the culture to attract people to communicate a message, and that is don't kill yourself. Okay, that there's a lot of people who love you and care about you, from your battle buddies to your family, and when life gets black, just know that all you have to do is put your hand up. And so the reason that the reunion piece, coincidentally talking about this on the day that, that James Ferguson's coming on, but the reason the reunion piece is important is your friends know, you know, your friends know when you go silent. And that's not, you, normally among your buddies who talk shit all the time, when somebody checks off the net, it's a warning flag. And so, this whole endeavor that started from zero, okay, and again, we don't advertise. I should probably, and here's the conundrum. I don't want to change what we do, the way we talk, our own language, you know, I don't want to change that because this is our culture. Well, does it include the profanity? Sometimes it does. Would I, in order to make more money, would I say, all right, hey, Gunner. Gunner, remember when Gunner counseled me about my language? Because I went off when Bo Bergdahl got no jail time. So he counsels me, and then he violates everything he says. What a piece of shit. Anyway, so, yeah, so, I mean, the culture is an incredible culture. And it is, it embodies the spirit of hopefully of the Marine Corps and the things that we enjoy about it. But, yeah, it's all done by word of mouth. So, and website statistics, I mean, there's things called spiders and other stuff. So, but when you have that many hits, that's a good thing. And so as this gets bigger and more well known, those numbers only continue to go up. And in terms of growth in the last year, almost 300% growth in just a year, just in 12 months, which is with, again, with no advertising, just word of mouth. So very, very cool. And to everybody who's mentioned this to somebody else, God bless you. Thank you very much. So, with that said, United States Marine Corps ban gets us towards the news this morning. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to everybody who's ever told somebody else about, hey, man, you should listen to this thing called All Marine Radio. It's moderately funny and pretty entertaining. So this one's for you.
my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination. Because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Winning. Winning. One of my Lance Corporals, Dave Benson, he used to always say, the Army's winning, we're losing. Benson, why do you say that? They're always in trucks, sir. Everywhere they go. I've never seen soldiers humping in my life. They're always in trucks. They're in armored personnel carriers. They are winning. We are losing. Lives in St. Cloud, Minnesota. I hadn't talked to him in 85. 20, 33 years. Talked to him about a month ago. Awesome. Funny. Currently, there's 4 weather warnings in effect for Quantico. What the hell's going on in Quantico? Cloudy and 53 there. We know it's small craft warning, right? Whoa, there's 5 of them. There's a freeze watch. There's a gale warning. There's a small craft advisory. A special marine warning. What is that? Is that a warning to Marines? Oh, like water warning. Yeah, there's some shit going on in Quantico. So if you're going to get in your little dinghy, be careful. Sunny and 75 at Camp Lejeune. Sun, mostly sunny, 62 in Granbury, Texas. Home of Michael Musselman, who we'll speak with in a little bit. Big Timber, Montana. Clouds of 38. 29 Palm, clouds in 52. Pendleton, clouds in 50. I'll tell you the Camp Pendleton story in a minute. Okinawa, dark, cloudy in 69. Mars has cooled off. Cloudy, dark in 66 at the home of All Marine Radio. The coast, the juggernaut, the internet juggernaut that is All Marine Radio. 52 degrees under cloudy skies. Looking for a high of 64 with rain in the forecast today. What? Yeah, 64 with rain. Go figure. So the lieutenant comes home last night. He and I go, he go fight. Actually, the best sushi I've ever had, I had last night. Yeah. After we went to 7 places, it took about 45 minutes arguing, driving around, trying to find a sushi place. And there's got to be at least 600 sushi places within a mile of where we live. So anyway, it was a good time. So, yeah, it had salmon, avocado. I'm not exactly sure. Those are the major elements of it. But it was good. So anyway, we're talking. So, like, what'd you do today? We were at the pool. We have some Marines on the range. The rest of the battalion's at wherever it's at. We have blah, 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 blah. So, we jumped off the high platform. I'm like, oh, my God, is that the funniest thing you've ever done in your life? And he starts laughing. I remember laying on the pool at Margarita back when back in the day when men were men and the 5th Marine Regiment was at Margarita at Camp Pendleton. Anyway, I remember laying by the side of the pool and howling, okay, at the comedy routine that went on at the pool when you had to do that. And we were doing swim quals, right? And so you had to do what? You had to go off the 35, what is it, 10-meter platform, 30 feet up in the air. And you go off feet first in your utilities, and then you got to come up and I think swim to the side of the pool in order for you to be, you know, what is it, class 4? I think that was class 4. If you couldn't get to the side of the pool, you were like, unk. But that was it. That was a minimum. And there were guys who couldn't swim, and they were up there, and, you know, you had swimmers in the water, you had all of it, and they had to jump. And then you had guys who could barely swim, and they had to jump. Oh, my God. The whole thing, the staff NCO screaming at them, get up here right now! Staff Sergeant! Oh, it was hilarious. And then once they hit the water, and they went down, and then they come back up, and then, oh, man, their eyes is huge. Huge, right? Then, and then trying to swim. Oh, and this is horrible, but anybody who's seen it will tell you that it's some of the funniest shit you've ever seen in your life. I did. I laid by the side of the pool, right? And I made a mental note. Hey, got to teach your kids to swim. An important thing. And two, but you know, you see all kinds of kids that don't grow up around pools or don't grow up around swimming holes. And they don't learn how to swim. And they're not that many. A lot of kids that come from the inner city don't. And then there's some country kids, depending on where they come from. You know, a lot of country kids grew up around swimming holes and things like that. So, but some don't. So, yeah. Anyway, brought back good memories of funny, funny times. Swim crawl. Yikes. So anyway. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll check news headlines on a Thursday edition, All Marine Radio. We're talking reunions today in the year of the reunion. And why are reunions important? Reunions are a key piece of making sure that people don't kill themselves. Why is that? Because reunions promote getting connected. Getting connected via social media. All right? Hanging out with your friends. Your friends know you. They know when you go silent. They know when you, you know, they know when you're naughty and you're nice. They know when you're in a good mood. They know when you're in a bad mood. That's critically important as life changes and you need your friends. So anyway, former Marine, James Ferguson's going to join us as well as somebody I served with, who's part of the story, unbeknownst to me. And he's his name is Dan Robertson, and he and I served together in Iraq in 2004, and small world stuff. So Dan was General Kelly's he ran General Kelly's personal security detail, PSD as it's known. Came from 11th Marines, and he was a platoon commander over there. So they weren't firing much artillery, so they were doing route reconnaissance and all kinds of other stuff. So he comes over to work for General Kelly. So Robertson's a good he's a funny guy. Well, he's not that funny, but he's entertaining to say the least. So he's going to join us. Dan is also, if you've ever seen the movie Taking Chance. HBO special about Lance Corporal Chance Phelps, who was killed in action. Phelps was one of Dan's Marines. And, in that movie, you know, they read a letter from Lieutenant Robertson, and you're gonna meet Lieutenant Robertson today. So Dan's a good dude, Yankee fan, and so you'll hear from him. And so it's interesting, small world kind of stuff. Marine Corps is that way, but small world stuff that is the Marine Corps. So we'll check these headlines next on our way to the top of the hour, and James Ferguson. Warrior Reunion Foundation. You can look it up on the internet. Warrior Reunion Foundation. Nonprofit organization. If you're planning a reunion, get in touch with them. They'll help you out at no cost. They'll make the event a better event. And so don't touch that dial. You'll hear from James here in a little bit.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music.
The number one story in Marine Corps Times, I would tell you, is a story in there about suicides. Crew chief shortages challenge Marine Force Reserve. So what's that about? Speaking before lawmakers, Marine Reserve Commander admitted that suicides and shortages in aviation crews are some of the major issues facing the reserves. So whenever you see that, that certainly gets your attention. With 12 suicides last year and 5 so far this year, Marine Reserve leadership is taking the issue seriously. Marine Force Reserve Commander Lieutenant General Rex McMillan told lawmakers at a Tuesday Senate hearing on Reserve and National Guard appropriations. Quote, "It's not as prevalent now as it was during the height of Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom," McMillan said about post-traumatic stress disorder, "but the Reserve's major concern is suicide. Across the entire DOD in 2017, 219 suicide deaths in the Reserves and 126 across the Army and the Air National Guard, according to 2017 Department of Defense reports." Most of the suicides are tied to relationship, legal, job, and financial issues. Leadership is working hard to maintain close and enduring contact with Marines, particularly when they're off duty. You know, but there's only so much a Marine Corps can do. And that's why, you know, again, it's kind of, I won't say ironic, because these are horizontal themes that we deal with in the Marine Corps and in this tribe. And the prevalence of suicide is one of the things that brings us all together. It is such a unbelievable, crushing blow, you know, when somebody takes their own life. And, I mean, it feels like, you know, the Commandant in his little piece of audio, "We gotta win," it feels like you just lost. You know, crushing. You just lost. So, it's an interesting little article in Marine Corps Times today. So, the other story that made national headlines yesterday had to do with the Secretary of Defense. And he, on the record, denied a story. He was asked specifically, the Secretary of Defense, about did he counsel the President that he needed to go ask the leaders of Congress to conduct a strike in Syria. And so he was asked on camera, and he says, quote, "No idea where the story came from. I found nothing in it I could recall from my own last week's activities." It would be really interesting to have him, General Kelly, Dunford, you know, and prominent people to talk about, you know, the media. And does the American public have a chance, given the way they write stories? Now, later on, it was hypothesized that what the new, and this is the New York Times, right? This is America's paper. America's paper of record, the New York Times, reporting this, right? Not a columnist postulating it, a reporter reporting it. So later, what they hypothesize is the discussion about going to Congress and explaining this somehow or other gets confused for going to Congress and asking for permission. So anyway, amazing. And so it's really interesting. And I say that because when I remember in 2004 reading news on the websites and being in meetings with General Mattis, you know, he was Division Commander General Conway. Ambassador Bremer, General Sanchez, all these guys, right? And you're a little fly, you're a coffee fetcher in the meeting, but still you're in the meeting. And then you read what gets written in the newspaper, and you're like, you know, the American people don't have a chance. These stories aren't even close to the truth. So it'd be very interesting to hear what those gentlemen have to say about the things they've seen written about American politics and what they had a hand in on a daily basis. And so I can just tell you from my own limited experience, being for a short period of time being on the inner sanctum of something that the world watched, it was pathetic. The reporting that was done in the United States, absolutely pathetic. And it's like, you know, I remember going back and speaking in front of groups and saying, telling them that you don't have a chance because the people that are writing those stories, they've written most of the story before they left the United States. They come over to have their picture taken in theater and to get a couple quotes, but the story is already written. Then they publish it. And then they go on their speaking tour, and then they go ask for a raise. That's what this is all about. So, is it truthful? And one of my favorite illustrations of that story is this crooked-nosed Brit reporter who was on CNN, and there was a dispute between two sheikhs over a road that one sheikh owned and a I want to say it was a glass factory that another sheikh owned. And the guy at the glass factory paid X amount of money to the sheikh who owned the road so that his people could use it to come to work. Well, he adds a second shift, a swing shift, if you will, right? But he didn't pay any more money. And he was asked on a number of occasions that he told that he should pay more money. So what happened? They closed the road, and they took everybody hostage and tried to go to work. And the way that got reported on CNN was, because it's in your AO, right? So it's in your AO, or part of it was in our AO, right? So it sounded like this. Under the nose of coalition forces here in Iraq, 240 Iraqi civilians have been taken hostage. The American military has no idea what's going on. Da, 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 da. And you're watching it, you're like, what's that dude talking about? What's wrong with his nose? Iraqi civilians are distraught, this ongoing war, and the complete inability of the Americans and the coalition to get its act together here, these ass clowns. He didn't say that, but it was kind of like that. So you pick up the phone, like, what's this going on? And then here's what you get back. Yeah, our civil affairs guys are on it. It's a Chamber of Commerce dispute here. What's the dispute? Yeah, the glass factory dude added a swing shift. He doesn't want to pay road guy more money. So road guy, right? he did the simple thing. He kidnapped the whole swing shift. They're working it out. Got it. Now, do you think that the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would tell you, ever got told? No. On to the next event. On to the next event in the Situation Room. Wolf Blitzer, news breaking with commentary from around the world. Thank God war's not like that, you know? You'd crawl out of there, like, after about an hour, like, I can't take it anymore, man. Only Wolf Blitzer can handle the Situation Room. Ugh, my God, because life, if it was like that, nobody would last for more than a week. Yeah, and that's you watch it, that's what the American people see on TV tonight. All designed so that you'll tune in and watch. It is theater. Based on factual events, right? But not really the truth. Sensationalized to make it a good program. God, what a great show today. How entertaining. But except here's the deal. When people turn on the news, their assumption is you're not entertaining us, that you're telling us the news. You're reporting the news. And at the end, you can bring your bozo roundtable people on or whatnot, and you can talk about it. We get that. But when you're in a Situation Room, we expect those reporters, we think they're reporting. We're not really in on it that they're not really reporting, that they're entertaining. Yeah, so it's like watching SummerSlam 3. Except they don't tell you that. And we're slow on the uptake. I want to congratulate the people of Cuba who democratically elected a new president. That's right. First non-Castro person. And so congratulations to the Cuban people. I think he got, 99.9% of the vote? So, you know what? Love to see those democracies in action. It's awesome. Early bird, top five stories. Army announces its upcoming deployments to Europe, Iraq, and Afghanistan. So, two brigades and a regiment are headed abroad in the upcoming months. So the Army's announced that. France turned to Plan B when missile launch fails during Syrian strike. Pretty little interesting little headline, eh? Yeah, check it out. When a French multi-mission frigate failed to fire its salvo of three Navy cruise missiles during this past weekend's joint airstrikes in Syria, the military drew up a backup plan. What? Wait a minute. So we hit the fire button, and what do we get, crickets? The frigate sister ship, Languedoc, instead launched its naval cruise missiles at the three Syrian targets. The mission was the first time France has fired its naval cruise missile, a weapon which, up until then, only the British and U.S. had ever fired against the threat. The first salvo did not fire, said Army Captain Patrick Steger, spokesman for the French Joint Chiefs of Staff. The launch by a backup ship is part of France's standard redundancy approach. All the targets were hit, he added. The military effect was obtained. That effectiveness led to the commanders to decide that there was no need for a second strike. Can you imagine? Ready, aim, vive la France, fire! I said fire, goddammit! Oh, we heard you. It didn't fire. Check fire! I don't know. That means something to artillery guys. Refire! Shoot that sumbitch! And now they're just stomping on the button. It won't shoot! Oh, shit! All right. tell them to fire. Hopefully they're not asleep. Yeah. Oh, what a shit show, huh? Yeah, that's why you have redundant capabilities. Military Times reporting, number three. U.S. forces in Korea aren't packing up just yet. Here's why. Yeah, so let me counsel everybody. Dial down the euphoria, okay? It's good to be optimistic, and Mike Pompeo went and hung out with Mr. Kim, but look, let me tell you, sometimes we're not even talking the same language, okay? The end of the Korean War, you know what that means to the North Koreans? It means U.S. forces leave the peninsula. What? Yeah, do you see that happening? Okay, so we may not be, no speaky the same language, okay? So, why wouldn't we be packing up yet? Although, you know what? I could see, a treaty, depending on, what they do, that we would reduce the number of American forces there. Now we'd keep them in the region because that's how we do it. This story is straight up stupid, okay? But I wanted just to speak to it. If you haven't seen this, this piece of stupidness is absolutely, positively amazing. And the headline is, Colonel Demoted Immediately Retired from the Air National Guard over dinosaur puppet video. All right, so, and here's a picture that was published and went, I don't want to say it went viral, but it left a mark, certainly, and this guy's out of business. Question is, what happened to her? All right, Army Master Sergeant Robin Brown, right, a public affairs officer with the Tennessee Air National Guard recites her oath of enlistment using a dinosaur hand puppet in an April 13th video. So the video got posted on Facebook of her re-enlisting. She's got a hand puppet, dinosaur, on the hand that she raises to recite her oath. Who the hell thought that that was a good idea, that that the oath is such an insignificant thing, that let's make jokes about it? Army Major General Perry Haston, the Adjutant General of the Tennessee National Guard, also announced in a Facebook post on Wednesday that Master Sergeant Robin Brown, the staff NCO whose videotaped reenlistment ceremony created a firestorm online, has been removed from her full-time job with the Tennessee Joint Public Affairs Office and is facing other administrative actions. Haston also said that another Tennessee Air National Guardsman, an unidentified staff NCO who videotaped the event, has been removed from his job as Unit First Sergeant and has been reprimanded. That staff NCO will stay in the Guard. Brown could not be identified in the video because she said her name is part of the reenlistment oath. Oh, could be identified. You can't see her name tape in the video. I am absolutely embarrassed that a senior officer and a senior non-commissioned officer took such liberties with a time-honored military tradition, Haston wrote. The Tennessee National Guard holds the oath of enlistment in the highest esteem because that oath signifies every service member's commitment to defend our state, the nation, and the freedoms we enjoy. Not taking this oath solemnly and with the utmost respect is firmly against the traditions and the sanctity of our military family and will not be tolerated. The Tennessee National Guard leadership as a whole is appalled by the actions of these individuals, which do not represent our nation's service members nor the airmen and soldiers of Tennessee. Yikes. Brown's reenlistment ceremony took place last Friday. By Saturday, it had been reposted on the unofficial Air Force Airman NCO Staff NCO Facebook page and quickly went viral, drawing widespread scorn online from many who felt her actions were disrespectful. The colonel was also criticized for allowing the ceremony to proceed with the puppet, as well as for not raising his own right hand and for not having the oath memorized. He read the oath off a piece of paper. You know what? I think that tells you everything you need to know. You watch leaders in the Marine Corps. They bomb whatever oath that they have to administer. You know, and you'll see the adjutant say, "Hey, sir, do you want the oath?" And he just looks at him like, "No, don't need it." On Monday, that'd been 3 days ago, Lieutenant General Scott Rice, Director of the Air National Guard, posted a statement on Facebook blasting the video. Quote, "I'm equally shocked and dismayed by this event that mocks such a cherished and honored occasion. This action goes against our every foundation." Pretty amazing, right? Pretty amazing that a full bird colonel is standing there. And this is what an ass clown the guy is. You know, you see it. She's there, and I'll post this with this hour's posting of our audio. But she's got this the hand that you would raise. She's got this stupid ass looking dinosaur thing on it. Okay, he has the oath so he can read it because he doesn't have it memorized in his left hand. And his right hand, which is supposed to be up as he administers the oath, is down by his side. And he's not even at the position of attention. Right? And let me tell you, if this is the shit that went on some IG ought to crawl up this unit's ass and just look, because this stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum. And you will find a whole bunch of jackassery and stupidity that has gone on in this organization with these ass clowns running it. Oh, Mac, how do you really feel? Yeah, that's how I really feel. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, James Ferguson going to join us. We're going to talk about reunions, more of All Marine Radio coming up right here on a Thursday edition of the All Warrior Radio Network extravaganza. Don't touch that dial. Trust me, you won't regret it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.